Again, we continue in the book of Colossians, studying it as the lectionary takes us through this. And today, St. Paul is attacking a specific heresy that the Colossian church was really being threatened with. And in particular, in verse 19, as Paul is talking about Jesus, he says, "For in him, Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." So a couple of things we're going to hear from our reading today is St. Paul, he addresses maybe a heresy you're familiar with or you've heard about. It's called Gnosticism. And the very early stages of it is what Paul is addressing. And first, he wants to warn the church about Gnosticism. He wants to kind of show the Colossians how Christianity is different. Second, Paul wants to show how evil Gnosticism is, and we'll discuss that too. And then finally for us, where is Gnosticism alive and well in our day, or even in our church and Christianity? So last Sunday, the introductory verses of Colossians, we heard about the history of the town a little bit and the people. And Paul used kingdom language of kings, kingdom, reigning, and things of that nature. Paul's main concern, of course, is not just earthly kingdoms. Paul wants to finally teach the people of Colossae that those kingdoms come and go, but the spiritual kingdom, this is the kingdom Paul was concerned with because eternity was at stake. And in Christianity, when you learn about the spiritual kingdom, when you reflect on it, as we heard in our gospel reading, when we sit at the feet of Jesus and learn, when our spiritual kingdom is set aright, the earthly kingdom will follow. Meaning our lives as humans, as having flesh and blood, being under the authority that God establishes. Now remember, as I mentioned last time, the people are very religious. They're very concerned about gods, little g. They have priests who teach them about these gods, and they're gods of, well, just what you remember reading in school, the gods of rain, harvest, fertility, even the gods of chaos and troubles. And they would build altars to all these gods. They would have services and sacrifices, and every citizen was expected to participate in these services. This was part of your duty as a citizen of Rome. One particular teaching and god that had made its way among the Colossians and is still present with us today is a teaching that's easy to accept because it plays into our sinful inclinations. It plays towards our annoyance at having a physical body sometimes. The fact that we have needs, that we hunger, we thirst, we need sleep, we need rest, and also the fact that we have bodies means that our spiritual life, it means our bodies are used for something. They're guided by the Holy Spirit, by our spiritual beliefs. Now, the religion called Gnosticism is an attempt to separate the spiritual from the physical. That is at its most basic idea. This teaching was very popular in Colossae, and the Christians in the church, they had a hard time with fighting against it because it's so easy to believe. It's so easy to fall for that anything physical, well, it's not spiritual. There's the physical world and the spiritual world, and the two don't cross. Now, it was also easy to believe because they used Jewish language and even Christian language. They used the words like the flesh or the fall. They even had services where they used Jewish language like temple and sacrifice and offerings. Some in this Colossian church and the churches around decided to say, hey, we can use this teaching in the church. The people already know it very well, so let's just sort of Christianize it. Let's bring it into the church and just let it live side by side with the doctrines that Paul taught us. Besides, the people like it. The biggest challenge of all. Now, the people, this teaching of Gnosticism, it spoke about Jesus. It held Jesus in a high regard, but Jesus was not God of gods. Jesus was little g God. He was just another emanation, another light that came from the big God, the one final God. And they said, Jesus can't really be truly God because he became flesh. That is, to a Gnostic, that is a faux pas. That is a sin. That is a fall. So Gnosticism, finally, what is it? Why is it evil? And where can we spot it today? Now, in the church in Colossae, Gnosticism was in its very early stages. Paul doesn't come right out. You don't hear him use the word Gnosticism. He doesn't come right out and say, hey, you guys are flirting with Gnosticism, because it was in its very early stages. It had just begun to become popular. In fact, Gnosticism doesn't get full steam until about the second century. It just hadn't got a lot of physical or what do we want to call organization to it. It's kind of like maybe all these kind of different groups that are searching for Bigfoot everywhere, right? They're a loose group of adherents after some sort of an idea, but they're not really that organized. Well, there might be such a group in Oklahoma, I don't know, but anyway, this is part of the reason why St. Paul doesn't use Gnosticism by name. He's more along the lines of, he knows the teachings, the heresies that are plaguing the church, and so he's addressing them almost one by one. The challenges that Paul is confronting are built upon this idea that anything physical, anything fleshly, that's evil. Gnostics, they do believe in a spiritual world, they believe in gods, they believe in things that are unseen. But since they know, and even the scriptures say God is spirit, they know this, but they take that too far. The needs of the body are secondary to a Gnostic. If necessary, even at all, the physical body is of no consequence. You are to use your flesh, your body, to search for ultimate knowledge, to figure out the mystery of living a purely spiritual life. The body and everything physical around us is a mistake, according to their beliefs. That the God who created us, he messed up. He intended to only create a purely spiritual world that won't be plagued by the bothers of the body and the flesh, but he messed up. And to them, that's the fall. To them, that is the imperfection, the fall, the first sin that caused our physical world and us to have physical bodies. Redemption is finally grasping this mystery, this knowledge. You hear it in Gnosticism. It comes from the same word, knowledge, Gnosticism. That how you finally leave the cares and the needs of the body behind and you ascend to the light. You no longer need your body. Now this, of course, is a mystery. It's only known by the most faithful adherents, and you've got to figure it out. This knowledge frees you from the physical things in life that are just a distraction. So in our reading today, you see Paul using language to point the Colossians away from an understanding of the body and the physical world as inherently evil. Paul wants the people to know that the physical world is just as spiritual as what is unseen. The physical and the spiritual are connected. There is no disconnection. That Paul builds this on the identity of who Jesus is, that Jesus is the God of gods, the light of light, very God of very God, who became flesh. God, who is the Spirit, took upon himself flesh and blood, was born of the Virgin Mary. And not only that, but by this very same Jesus, he says, all things were made through him and by him. The creation of the physical world is not a mistake. The created world is very much the story of salvation itself. A story and teaching of who God really is and revealing to us that he loves people. He loves physical things. So why is this idea of Gnosticism, why is this heresy so evil that Paul feels he needs to address it? The fullness of God, Paul writes, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Christ. This was really the target of the Gnostics and all heresies, all false teaching. Its goal is to take away glory from Christ. They tried to claim that Christ is somehow not as much of God. And when you can take away the divinity of Christ, then you can take away the assurance of salvation. Because then he's just a man who died. Just like any other man can't die for the sins of another man. But no, Paul is stressing Christ is fully God, and in becoming flesh, he didn't lose any of his divinity. He didn't become a second-rate God. Flesh and blood is not in opposition to God and the Holy Spirit, but it is being redeemed by Christ. Our fallen flesh and spirit is being made holy again. By Christ taking on flesh, he is in the process. He is working to restore our flesh and our souls. Yes, we do have a fall, right? And that's where the Gnostics get the idea of a fall from. How do you explain all the evil in the world and the sin? The Gnostics use that language, the fall. But in Christianity, it's not God's fault. But of course, it is the devil. And then us, sin entered the world by one man. And then us, by rebelling against God, actually using the gift of our bodies against God. The fall has affected our body and soul. So in verse 21, Paul continues to build the case. He points out, he says, yes, your flesh is fallen. The desires that you have, yes, they are wrong. But it's not because being a human is evil. It's not because being a human and having flesh and a physical world is unredeemable. No, St. Paul says, you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. The mind, body, and soul, listen to that language that Paul uses, is alienated, even hostile to God. The fall into sin is more than just a lack of information. You know this even in your own life. You know what you're supposed to do. You know the law of God. It's written in our hearts. We have plenty of instructions on how to live a good life. You know God says you shouldn't lust. You shouldn't covet after other people's lives and stuff. But yet we still do it all the time. Paul says every fallen human, it's not just a little mistake, alienated and even hostile to God. This is why we believe in original sin. Not that flesh and blood in and of itself is sinful. Jesus became flesh and blood. Being a human doesn't mean you're inherently evil. Although sometimes we might question that with our kids in the middle of the night. Being human is not a mistake. God himself becomes man. He had to redeem us and buy us back from death and the devil. St. Paul says, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. St. Paul is very specific to say that the crucifixion, the death of God, was physical, very real. It wasn't just a spiritual exercise. And why did he do this? Well, to present you holy and blameless. Look at the contrast there between our sinful flesh, our fallen desires, and now how you stand before God. Because of the work of Jesus, Jesus presents you to God holy, blameless, even above reproach. Not by any works that we do, but what does he follow up with? Look what he says. He says, if indeed you continue in the faith. This is our promise that salvation and redemption is not some mysterious riddle we have to figure out. It's not some hidden knowledge, but your salvation was a historical event. Our redemption was a public event for all to see. For you see, one of the evil things about Gnosticism is that it can't be disproven. It's a mystery. Christianity can be disproved. We even confess that in the creed. We say, suffered under Pontius Pilate, born of the Virgin Mary. If you can show that Pilate never existed, if you can show the dead body of Christ that he was never raised, we would concede, yes, Christianity is fake. And what does St. Paul say? He says, and we would be most to be pitied. But Christ is risen physically. And we too will rise physically. Paul says then to the Colossians, he says, the gospel was preached to you. It's public. The gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and which I, Paul, became a minister. The gospel is not a secret knowledge. It is a mystery. Why would God give himself for sinners? Why would God, who doesn't have any of the needs of the flesh, the God who is above all things, why would he come down to serve the most undeserving? Why would he bother himself to hunger, to thirst, to cry? It is a mystery, but it's no secret. It is not just knowledge. It is the power of God unto salvation. That is the gospel. And God uses, as Paul says, I became a minister. God uses the church to carry this message, to proclaim this message in fallen, fragile people. This gospel is proclaimed and carried, that God was real, flesh and blood, to make your flesh and blood righteous. And then that this righteousness, this belief, it has an effect on our physical life. We live life differently. We treat people differently. We think and value life not according to what we gain from it, but we value life according to who made it, who possesses it and gives it. This brings us to our final point in the church. Do we have Gnostic teachings that threaten Christianity today? And of course the answer is yes. There's nothing new under the sun. The issues that stem from Gnosticism today, that physical is bad, but spiritual is good, they are plenty. In the Christian church, we have Christians who think that anything physical, like the sacraments, like baptism and the Lord's Supper, that they're physical elements. It's just bread and wine, they say, and they can't do anything spiritual. It's true that they are physical elements, but God, by His Word, He says, this is my body, this is my blood for the forgiveness of your sins, and then that is what it is. Just like Jesus was a physical man, but He was also, St. Paul says, the fullness of God. He was physical and spiritual. God even said so at His baptism. This is my beloved Son. So even in the Christian church, we have the tendency to think that, well, what I do with my physical body or the physical sacraments aren't truly spiritual. They're just symbolic. St. Paul says, no. Don't divide the spiritual from the physical. Finally, in our culture, one Gnostic teaching that has really run rampant now, and you know this yourself, is this idea of transgenderism. That my body is a mistake. that my body is the wrong gender. God made a mistake. This is Gnosticism at its most basic form. When people believe that their body is wrong or it's a mistake according to some alternate identity that they have, that they believe that they're not really who they are, that God made a mistake, this is a rejection of the physical body that God gives. Because you see, the devil wants to take away all certainty, even the certainty of physical things. The devil loves chaos in any way he can sow it or make us unsure of even who we are. Evil is going to run rampant. Especially with kids. The devil loves taking away the things that are foundational, the things that are sure, the things that give us our identity. That's why the devil attacks our sex, male and female. Also why he attacks marriage. Because divorce takes away a child's identity, who they are, where they came from. So too with transgenderism. The devil's desire is to confuse us, to create uncertainty. And even with us Christians, trying to live our life, trying to be faithful, when we come across somebody who is intentionally confusing their genders, it's meant to make you uncertain. What do I call them? How do I speak to them? We don't want to offend them. But the devil is attacking the very things that God gives to us for certainty. Because finally, his aim and target is the certainty of the gospel. Paul desires the Colossians and us to know that the body is a gift from God. Physical needs, as difficult as they might be sometimes, is a reminder that we have a God who provides everything we need. Jesus was true God, God who had a body, who died a real death, but also had a real resurrection, restoring the flesh to its right place, promising us too that our bodies and souls will be resurrected, a historical event, even shown to you in your baptism, where you were put to death with Christ and raised with Him, that our identity as children of God is sure. We aren't trying to escape from our bodies as Christians, but we are looking to use our bodies to the glory of God, which means using our bodies as living sacrifices for others. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.